Very warm good afternoon to all of you. Today, the last day of 2017. How has this year been for you? Good? Bad? For me, it's been a year of great gain, also a year of great loss. I thank God for the gain of new experiences, new friendships. But I grieve at the loss of many funerals of church members this year, and in my own life, in my own home, the death of my very close companion, my dog, Jeffrey. He died at over the age of 100, and I miss him. But 31st December is not the end, because life is a journey. And today's passage, Isaiah 35, is all about journey. And so I've entitled today's sharing, Journey into Tomorrow. Historically, the Isaiah 35 journey was for the people of Judah. They had been in the land of Babylonia, where they were in exile because of their sins against God. But now the time had come, the appointed time of 70 years. And God had said through the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 29:10, that after 70 years in exile, God would bring his people back to their land, to the land of Israel. Isaiah 35:10 speaks of this journey. The ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Of course, we can understand. If we had been the people as prisoners in exile for 70 years in a foreign land, when we finally return to our own land, we would come back with rejoicing. We would come back with singing. And yet this journey is not a historical journey that has no significance for us, but it is one of very great present-day significance. Because in the year 1948, the state of Israel was formed, the Jewish state of Israel. You know, in the hearts of the Jewish people, their capital has always been and will always be Jerusalem. It is very deep in their hearts. They love Jerusalem. And yet, the nations of the world have not recognized Jerusalem as the capital. For all these years, 70 years already, the nations have not recognized. And so I believe it is very significant that at this point of time, the U.S. President, Donald Trump, has stated that he wants to move the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And if he does it next year, it will be exactly coinciding with the 70th anniversary of the formation of the modern state of Israel. So we see that number again, 70. I believe this is significant. How it will work out in reality, we have to watch, we have to pray. Because many nations in the world are very much against the move of embassies to Jerusalem, and in that way, recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Journey into tomorrow. And here we think not of Israel's journey, but we think of our own personal journey. Literally, tomorrow starts the new year, 2018. What will your journey be like? As in all journeys, especially business trips, even holidays, you know that good planning is important. And so let us plan our journey well. We can plan by planning your traveling companion and planning your goal. Firstly, to plan who you will travel with. There is one place in the Bible that features very prominently, and this is the desert or the wilderness. In the Old Testament times, book of Exodus, book of Numbers, you find that the people of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years before they reached their promised land. In the New Testament, we read how Jesus himself fasted in the wilderness 40 days, 40 nights after he was baptized with the Holy Spirit. the wilderness. You can imagine what it's like. A place of dryness, a place of deadness, a place of very extreme weather conditions. Not a good place to be in. And that is why Isaiah 35 starts with such a startling description of the wilderness. It says, "The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, and the majesty of Carmel and Sharon." Isaiah 35, 1 to 2. If you have visited Israel, modern-day Israel, and if you drive through, you will surely notice the change in landscape. In the north, it's very green. It's very beautiful. There is abundant rainfall, and the vegetation is luscious, and it's beautiful. But as you drive further south of Israel, you will notice the change in landscape. No longer beautiful and green, but it's turning very brown, very dry, rugged, harsh mountains. And so it is so shocking that Isaiah says, the desert, the southern deserts, will be more beautiful than Lebanon, Carmel, and Sharon. What is so special about Lebanon, Carmel, and Sharon? These three places are in the northern part of Israel, and they were famous for their beauty. They're known as the beauty spots of Israel. If you want to see beauty, you go to these three places. Isaiah says, the desert of the south will be even more beautiful than these places. And why is that? Isaiah 35, verse 2 says, it is because of the presence of the Lord. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. We're talking about journey into tomorrow. Who will your traveling companion be? You know that if you have someone special in your life, and if you are with this person, suddenly your world becomes beautiful. Here we're talking about the desert becoming beautiful because God is with them, with the people, with the creatures, with the vegetation of the desert. Suddenly becomes beautiful because of the presence of the Lord. I don't know if you've read a novel by C.S. Lewis, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. But here I'm reminded of this famous novel. It's about a wicked witch in the land of Narnia. And when this wicked witch is around, the whole of Narnia becomes cold and icy, covered with snow. There is no growth. There is no life. Only deadness, because the wicked witch is around. But when the lion comes, everything changes. And this lion, his name is Aslan. And he is actually the rightful king of Narnia. And he's also the rightful king in the hearts of all the people. So when this lion Aslan comes, suddenly the landscape of Narnia changes. No longer cold and harsh snow, but suddenly everything comes to life. The trees begin to grow abundantly. The flowers blossom. Everything becomes beautiful. We know, of course, that Aslan is actually a picture of Jesus, the rightful king of Israel, and also the rightful king of the world. So, when he is our traveling companion, everything becomes beautiful. Isaiah 35, verse 1 says this, "The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus." I don't know if you're familiar with this crocus, but a crocus is actually a plant with very beautiful flowers, and it blossoms abundantly. And so Isaiah is saying that when the presence of the Lord is in the wilderness will be beautiful, full of crocuses, blossoming, full of beauty. I ask you again, as you travel into tomorrow, who will your traveling companion be? Will it be Jesus? Perhaps you are thinking, actually, I've been a Christian for many years, but my life is not beautiful. My world, my landscape, they are not beautiful. Instead, my life is full of problems. Is this your life? And let me tell you a story, a true story. Many years ago, I was going on a mission trip to Kuching, Longhouse area. And I was on the plane from Singapore to Kuching, and seated on my left and on my right were two of my friends from this church. We are all going to Kuching Longhouse Mission together. Everything was fine on the plane until suddenly we hit turbulence. Now you know what turbulence is like. The plane suddenly began to shake. And then suddenly the ride was, it was very bumpy. And to my great dismay, my two friends on my left and on my right suddenly became very alive, suddenly became very excited. And they started shouting, "Yes, turbulence, we love turbulence." I was so shocked and I was thinking, my goodness, what kind of friends do I have? Are they mad? That's who can love turbulence, right? To me, turbulence means only one thing, sickness. Turbulence makes me very sick. So I was horrified that my friends were delighted with the turbulence. But I knew I wasn't alone on that flight. I knew Jesus was with me. And so I prayed, and I prayed, "In the name of Jesus, turbulence, stop." And praise God, after I prayed that, soon after, the turbulence really stopped, and the flight became smooth again. I was rejoicing. And my two friends were so disappointed. No more turbulence. What I'm saying is, who is your traveling companion? If it is Jesus, then even when you hit points of turbulence in your life, difficult points, times of distress, bumpy, shaky ride, even then, you know this too will pass because Jesus is with you. Amen. So plan your traveling companion. The next thing, plan your goal. For the Jewish people, the goal has always been Jerusalem. They love Jerusalem so much. It is written in Psalm 137, verse 5. "If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill." Most of us are right-handed. With my right hand, I do everything I need to do. If my right hand forgets its skill, it means my right hand becomes useless. It cannot do any of the normal functions. It cannot do anything. It becomes useless. This is a self-curse that the Jewish people have placed on themselves. If ever they forget their beloved Jerusalem, may their right hand hang loose. May their right hand become useless. Why would the Jewish people put a self-curse on them? What makes Jerusalem so important to them? For one thing, Jerusalem is the city that the Bible speaks of, where Jewish males, three times a year, wherever they're living in the whole of Israel, three times a year, they will travel to Jerusalem to celebrate the great biblical feasts, to be in the presence of the Lord. That's how special and central Jerusalem is. And Jerusalem is the goal in Isaiah 35. What does this mean for us? Does it mean that we should all go on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem in 2018? I know some are planning to do that, and it's, I'm sure, going to be wonderful. You will be greatly blessed. And yet I believe that what we're looking at here is something more than a physical journey to Jerusalem. But thinking of our goal for tomorrow, our goal should be a pilgrimage to get closer and closer to God, closer in our relationship to God Himself. Psalm 48, verses 1 to 2, says that Jerusalem is the city of the great King. It is God's own city. So in a spiritual sense, if we're thinking of Jerusalem as our goal, we are thinking of God as the goal. We need to get closer to Him. How can we get closer? We can walk on this road. Isaiah 35 verse 8 says, a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the way of holiness. Walk on this road to get closer to God. It's not a physical road, it's a spiritual road. And we know this because verse 9 says that only special people can walk on this road. And the special people are the redeemed. You know, redeemed is the Hebrew word ga'al. And ga'al carries the idea of buying back something. Redeeming, buying back something. So when Jesus died on the cross, He literally bought us back from the law of sin and death. He bought us back so that we can be redeemed. Instead of death, we can have eternal life. So we can walk on this highway of holiness, and the Holy Spirit will help us. If you read Isaiah 35, you will find many, many references to the Holy Spirit. For instance, verses 6 and 7 speak of streams in the desert and springs of water. Spiritual water. Why do I say it's referring to the Holy Spirit? It's not actual physical water, but referring to the Holy Spirit because of what Jesus Himself says. In John 7, Jesus said, whoever believes in Me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living waters. Now, this He said about the Holy Spirit, John 7, 38 to 39. The Holy Spirit is the one who will help us walk the highway of holiness. And as we walk this highway of holiness, it is not wrong for us to expect miracles. Do you expect miracles? Is your God a God of miracles? Or is your God the God whom you come to worship on Sunday only? I believe miracles and the Holy Spirit go together. Why do I say this? Isaiah 35 verse 6 says, then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. You know, I love this verse because it speaks to me personally about two of the great problem areas in my life. I call my condition the legs and lungs condition. I have problems with my legs. I have problems with my lungs. My legs, in particular, my knees, they hurt so badly that sometimes, on some days, my knees get totally jammed, so painful that I can hardly move. And as for my lungs, well, there was a time years ago when I coughed for 8 months. I coughed for 8 months without stopping. I simply could not stop coughing. I tried everything I could, Western medicine, Chinese medicine. People said, drink this very, very bitter herbal drink. You will be cured. And so I drank first cup, second cup, bitter, bitter. I drank everything in the hope of getting cured. Nothing worked. For 8 months, I just kept coughing. During that time, my lungs got very badly affected. And that is why I'm so excited by this verse in Isaiah. Because it says, the lame shall walk, the mute shall sing. In other words, even people whose legs are totally useless, they will be healed. Even people who cannot speak at all because of throat damage, lung damage, even these people will sing for joy. It's a miracle. I know that some people will say, this verse in Isaiah, it's not talking about physical healing, it's talking about spiritual healing. But I ask you, what did Jesus Himself say? Jesus actually quoted directly from Isaiah 35. And I will read to you the passage from Isaiah 35, verses 5 to 6. So please listen, it's very important. It says, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. This is what Isaiah says. And now we come to Luke chapter 7. In Luke chapter 7, John the Baptist sends his disciples to Jesus. And the disciples say to Jesus, "Are you the Messiah?" Messiah means Christ. It means the one that the whole of Israel has been waiting for as the Redeemer, as a Savior. The disciples say to Jesus, "Are you Messiah?" That is in Luke chapter 7, verse 20. Notice, please, verse 20. Why do I stress that? Because the very next verse, verse 21, says this. In that hour, when Jesus was asked, "Are you the Messiah?" In that hour, Jesus healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits. And on many who were blind, he bestowed sight. And he answered them, "Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up." Luke 7, 21 to 22. Amen. So for Jesus, it's very clear. Was Isaiah talking about physical healing? Jesus said, yes. He performed these miracles, and he said, "Go and tell John what you have seen and what you have heard." I believe that physical healing and the work of the Holy Spirit, they are very, very much connected. Isaiah 35, verse 6 says this, "Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert." You see the connection. Miracles, why? Because of water, streams in the wilderness. And as we've said, the water represents the Holy Spirit. So in our journey to tomorrow, whatever we are struggling with, let us not be afraid to ask God for miracles, whether it's physical healing or some other miracle that we need. The Holy Spirit is the one who can perform these miracles. I encourage you, plan your goal. Have a closer relationship with God. Just as in the natural, the Israelites would travel to Jerusalem, so in the spiritual, we let us travel closer to God. As we do so, the Holy Spirit will help us on the highway of holiness. In closing, let me tell you a testimony. It's a testimony of what happened at the start of this year. Today is 31st December. This testimony concerns the 1st of January this year. On the 1st of January this year, I preached at the 7 a.m. service, and I was due to preach the same sermon here at the 5 p.m. service. Normally, it's much easier for me to preach at 5 than at 7, simply because 5 p.m. is the second time I would be preaching the same sermon. So it's easier. But that day, 1st of January, everything went well at 7 a.m. Everything went wrong at 5 p.m. What went wrong? As I was preaching, suddenly the weather changed. I can see the outside, so I know. Suddenly the sky became very dark. A sudden thing. Not gradual darkness, but as I was preaching, halfway through the sermon, suddenly the sky became very dark. And then the rain came. It was very, very heavy rain, and you could hear it, you see it all around. Very heavy rain. Lightning and thunder came. Not once, not twice, but a lot of lightning, a lot of thunder. And in fact, the thunder was so frequent and so loud that my voice couldn't be heard. Even the microphone couldn't help me. I was being drowned out. If that wasn't bad enough, suddenly everything went wrong with the slides, the visuals. For some reason, the wrong slides kept popping up. So there was absolutely no correlation between what I was saying and what was appearing on the screen. If that wasn't bad enough, I looked at the people. I don't know if you were sitting there that day. I looked at you or whoever was sitting there that day, 1st of January. And to my great horror, so many people were yawning. I have never in my whole life seen so many people yawning. And they were not giving me polite little yawns. You know what a polite little yawn is? It's, oh. No. The people that they were not giving me polite little yawns. They were giving me full-blown, big mouth, kind of yawns. And so many people were doing it. I was so horrified. As I said, I've never seen so many people yawn before. And I've never seen such big mouths before. But do you know, even worse was to come. And the worst thing that happened, as I was preaching halfway through the sermon, my mind went blank. It simply went blank. I lost my train of thought. I couldn't think properly. I even lost my place in my notes. I have notes, but suddenly I lost my place and I didn't know what to say anymore. I only knew that I couldn't stop, because how can you stop halfway through a sermon? So I kept talking with a blank mind. I kept talking, and in my heart, I was subconsciously crying out to God. I was saying, Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, help me. And that's all I could do. And then I just kept on preaching, even though I hardly knew what I was saying. After the service, to my great amazement, many people came and said, Pastor, so sorry. They said, Pastor, that was a very good sermon. I said, oh, really? My mind went blank. They said, no, we didn't see that your mind went blank. And I was so amazed, because on a normal day, very few people say that to me. And sometimes, absolutely nobody says that to me. But that day, so many people said, it was a very good sermon. And so I knew that's the Holy Spirit. It was not me. For sure it was not me, because my mind was blank. I was defeated. I was in despair. I was ready to give up preaching and run and hide my face. It was the Holy Spirit. As we journey into tomorrow, I know some of us are fearful because tomorrow is unknown. We are scared of the future. Believe me, I was very scared preaching with a blank mind. But the Holy Spirit did not fail me, and neither will the Holy Spirit fail any of us as we journey into tomorrow. Hallelujah. Let's come to Him in prayer. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, we bless You that You call us to greater things, to greater heights, Lord. You call us to a deeper relationship with You. The most fulfilling thing in life, the greatest thing, is to love You, to be in Your presence. Father, thank You that You do not send us into the future alone, but You send the Holy Spirit to be with us. So, Father, we commit ourselves to You, Lord, all our fears about tomorrow. Hallelujah, hallelujah. As I was preparing this sermon, I felt the Holy Spirit say that there are people here today who need to hear this word. And the word is that you are not forgotten. You will have no fear for tomorrow. Despite our age, despite our circumstances in life, we will have no fear for tomorrow, because God is our God and He will help us to walk the highway of holiness. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So, Father, thank You, Lord. You are our confidence, our all in all. Thank You, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.